Well, almost every church knows that we need to be using social media to reach our communities, but there's certain social media posts that perform better than others. So in this conversation, we're going to rank the most valuable church social media post types and tell you exactly what your church should be doing. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are ranking church social media posts, different ideas, different ways that churches post, different styles of posts that we can do in our churches. And we want to give you our hot takes on how we think you should be posting on social media at your church. So not necessarily the authority on all things social media posting, but we have a pretty good view on this stuff, I think. We do take a pretty hard look at the data. And so we want to share some of our insights with you.
Yeah, and we're ranking it in three different categories. We always have fun with these. So so as far as the three C's that we're calling them, can't miss, and then the middle ones could work, and then churchy but meh is the bad one. So, but
I'll be the one. I'm the one that gets to
team members that came up with this. We lean on them for trendy terms.
At least they didn't say mid for the second one.
Right.
Could work, but mid.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Does mid mean mid doesn't actually mean mid, right? Mid means bad almost.
I think it's like plain. You're middle of the pack at best, if you will. I don't know.
It's almost like mediocre, I would say, right?
Mediocre. That's probably
it. Does mean middle, but it actually is kind of like a negative connotation at the same time.
You're just plain. Yeah, whatever.
This has been Thomas and Ian, Decipher the Young People's Language. Thank you for tuning in.
There you go. Well, we have teenagers. They keep us, teenagers keep us relevant, right?
So,
cool. Well, let's dig in, Thomas. So, first one, sermon clips.
Sermon clips. Okay. So, we're talking about the, I assume the short form vertical video sermon
that's
clips.
What we're talking about
TikTok, Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts. Yep. It's hard to say this around it, but this is a can't miss.
Yeah,
I think that if you were going to do one social media post type at your church, I'd probably do these. I think that you'll have it. If I was saying this 2 years ago, it would have been even more can't miss. I will say that we study these things and everybody has got on this at this point. And so it's not the gold mine that it used to be on social media.
Correct.
But it is still the best way to reach people on social media is making short form vertical videos. I think on average, if you did a scripture graphic post or photo posts, you might get more likes on those in some cases. But as far as the number of views and reaches that it get on those still posts, it'll be less than what you would get on doing short form vertical video posts. So definite can't miss. We've done whole episodes about these, but good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Next one, I agree. Nothing much to add there on that one at least. But next one is memes.
Memes, okay. So this is something we haven't really talked about, I don't think, on the podcast ever. I am gonna put this in the could work category.
I thought that's what you were going to do.
And let me say why. So we at Reach Right are a huge believer in memes. This is something that we do. It's part of our culture. We share them on our Slack channels. And
We do.
We decided a while ago that we could make our own memes or find memes, and we usually are creating our own, that we could put out there. And they're a great way to get views from like-minded people. So our memes are mostly about frustrations that church leaders have on in day-to-day stuff. So things like, you know, people backing out at the last minute on planning center, or frustrations that worship leaders have with, you know, finding drummers, or, you know, those kinds of things that are kind of obscure. But that's the great thing about a meme is that there are enough people that kind of get it. Like, so memes are really cool in that way. And what a meme does, so I think a lot of times churches get into this habit of thinking we have to only put content that preaches the gospel. Like, in every single time it has to be gospel facing. Yep. We have to know why we do it. Sometimes it's okay just to tell a joke on social media.
Yeah.
And as long as the joke resonates with the people that you're trying to reach, I think it will actually play to your benefit in the future. So case in point, you do a meme. We've done a lot of experiments. Animal memes, for whatever reason, tend to do the best. So, you know, the whole joke about cat memes and that stuff, that's what it is. We see that those do really well. You make a meme that's something that is common to people that are looking for churches or have a church experience or followers of Jesus, they can all relate to. A lot of people watch it, a lot of people like it, a lot of people comment on it. All of those people that hit that heart or watched it in full or you know read it, those kinds of people are going to see future posts that you do. So when you do a sermon clip where you present the gospel or you talk about how to get freedom for an area, though it's going to expand your audience. So I think it's actually like a could work. I wouldn't say it's a can't miss it. Every church has to do it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really great strategy. So don't think of this as like a mid thing, to use our kids' language, that it would be. Actually, it's really valuable if you do it. I'd recommend video memes. So the same thing as before, like sermon clips. You do short form vertical video memes. Those will get you the best results. And I think that's probably something that a lot of churches should try.
Yeah, and I agree. The thing that stuck out the most there, I think they just soften things up a little bit. We get too serious sometimes. Like you said, we feel like everything just has to be always delivering the gospel. And they're funny, too. And I think just to get people to lighten up, it keeps attention, and humor's a good thing. So, and agree with everything else she said. So next one, testimonials. Or testimonies?
Testimonials. The timeless art of doing testimonies, right?
That's it, yeah.
Jesus was for them, and I think I remain for them, and I think social media is a good place for them.
Yep.
I would say that they are can't miss.
Can't miss until the Lord
comes
back.
It seems weird
to
say that. Like, so you can do a testimonial in a way that... misses.
Yeah.
So you can miss with a testimonial.
It could be meh if it's too wordy and dull. Yes.
But I think just as a principle, a well done testimonial, again, talking about short form vertical video testimonies, those are can't miss. I think that they have to be edited very well. I think you need to keep them nice and tight. Don't feel like you have to get everybody's entire backstory in there, but just this is where I was, then God, here's where I am now.
Yeah.
That kind of a format. It really does wonders. It is timeless, 2,000 years and still working. So all for it.
Totally agree. So, but they've been powerful. I believe will stay powerful. So next one's devotionals.
Okay, devotionals.
I guess kind of broad. So
yeah, it depends on what you mean by this. So I don't think that text-based devotionals are great. So I have seen the ones that take advantage of the system are the ones that do tend to do well. So maybe you've seen these before where it's music background and it'll lay out text really quick. So it'll be like, hey, three tips for you if you're facing anxiety today. And it'll be, do this scripture, do this scripture, do this scripture. And it kind of does them real quick. I've seen those work sometimes when they go really quick, so fast that someone can't read number three and they wanted to hear it or something. And what it does is almost it tricks the algorithms into saying, well, people really like this video. They keep watching it over and over again. And in reality, all that happened was we couldn't read it fast enough. And so we wanted to see what it says. So I've seen those work. So I do think that there's a place for them. I think the text-based devotionals, thought of the day type stuff, that is definitely churchy, but meh. But when it comes to the short form vertical video ones where you're doing that kind of format, I'd say could work, is the category I'd put those in. So let's call it could work. You agree?
I agree. We've yet to have a meh. So let's see if we get there.
Maybe
so next one is prayer requests and praise reports.
Okay, prayer requests and praise reports.
And I guess praise reports more like the testimonials we mentioned, but I guess this one we may be thinking of just a text-based one.
Okay.
Something like that.
Well, so if we are talking text-based, then I think with all these things, I almost always, when it's always text-based, I'm going to get into probably the meh. that's where that goes meh for me. Just because it's not because it's bad, but it doesn't work. They're so so hamstrung right now, all text-based and even image-based, just, you know, images with text on them type posts. So I'm going to assume that we mean like video. So if we're talking about a video of a pastor getting on there and saying something like, hey, I just want to let you know about something happening in our church and someone to be praying about.
Right.
I could see that working, maybe. Like, I think that could get some traction on stuff. I don't see that very often.
Right. Same
you know,
here.
And you have to be careful, like, with the prayer request. Is it something, like, usually, like, those kinds of prayer requests are more private. You know, I think that, like, just right now, I've seen these videos from John MacArthur, you know, famous pastor, very conservative guy. He's pretty sick, and a lot of people are praying for him, and they've been putting pray for John MacArthur prayer requests out there in video form showing him in there. And I've seen those have actually been going around. So I guess all that to say, I think in video format, I could see some scenarios where this works. So I would say could work is where we'll put that.
Yeah, that's good. And next one, I think I know what you're going to say to this one. Event announcements over social media.
Event announcements on social media. Okay. So this was how everybody got into social media as churches.
Yes.
What we would do is we would put our events onto social media. And there was a time where this is can't miss. Like you, that really worked well. There was a season when your people that saw your posts were the people that followed your ministry. So if someone were your followers, if they got on Facebook, they'd see your events and it'd be great. That changed. It's been a while now, probably about 5 years ago or so, where people use what is more like a discovery-based algorithm. And so all of the social media platforms, they don't really show based on who you follow anymore or who you're subscribed to, but just based on what you've proven your interest to be based on the stuff you've watched in the past and the kind of things that you're looking for and the quality of the content that you're putting out there. So the problem with church events now is that it is such a narrow audience in most cases that it doesn't have the broad appeal to have a really broad reach on social media. Yeah. And we still think in the old school way of doing doing social media posts. In fact, I just had a staff meeting at our church where people say, hey, can we make sure we get, you know, these events onto our social media posts? And I have to explain over to her, that just doesn't work anymore. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
You can post them, but like we have seen this, that you'll get a handful of people that view it, unless you have a really creative strategy for maybe turning an event announcement into like a testimonial video, you know, of like, so for youth camp, for instance, if your youth camp video is a testimony from last year's youth camp, that could work in promoting this year's youth camp. But in reality, if just a straight event post, this is our first churchy, but meh. I think that's something that I wouldn't recommend that most churches do anymore.
Yep. Agreed. So for all those same reasons there, Thomas. And then next one would be sermon recaps.
I don't know what we mean exactly by that.
One,
So I think sermon clips, we already said that's probably the top of the top of the can't
Sunday
miss
or whatever. Yeah.
So a sermon recap, if we're talking about like the pastor filming a dedicated video of, hey, here's what you missed last week, and he goes like
a brief
50-second version of it, could be cool. I think what we probably mean is like maybe what are the points from the sermon?
Right.
Maybe it's more text-based. That would be a churchy, but man.
Here's what they were. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I think I'd put that in a could work if it's a pastor doing a recap of, is sort of doing a dedicated video for it. I'd say that's a could work probably.
Yeah. Good. Next one would be interactive polls and questions.
Okay. I like this one. We've been doing more and more experimenting in this area.
Yeah.
It's better on some channels than others. Our most prominent channel here at ReachRight, at least, is on YouTube.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of traction on this. Like, so we're getting dozens of responses every time we put out a thought-provoking question of some kind to try to better understand our audience and what they're doing and what's working for them. So I think that these are really good. It's all about the questions, though.
Like,
so it's all about the things that you're asking. I think sometimes in churches, we have that same temptation I talked about before, where everything has to be really theological or really churchy. And you know what? Like, it's okay to just ask a question like, you know, favorite what is your
superheroes?
Yeah, exactly. What's your favorite kind of ice cream and why is it peanut butter chocolate, you know, or something like that? It, like those kinds of questions, what it's designed to do is like to make it totally unrelated to anything that they would expect from us. And then when you say something like, why is it peanut butter chocolate? It makes people immediately respond, say, it's not peanut butter chocolate. I like mint chocolate chip, or I like butterscotch or whatever.
Butterscotch,
Is that ice cream flavor? I don't know if butterscotch is an ice cream flavor.
I actually was wondering in my mind, does anyone still do butterscotch sundaes? I used to love those, and now it's like been replaced by caramel. Like butterscotch is for old people now. So
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Werther's. You probably have a pack in your pocket right now.
Maybe we're asking that right now. Maybe we'll take a poll on this. So who still has butterscotch?
To the idea of that, I think if you do those general polls, what it, and kind of make them thought provoking, I think it's something that churches should try. And so for that reason, I'm going to put it into the can't miss category because I think every church should try it. What it does again is it actually introduces your platform to more people, because let's face it, anybody could answer the ice cream question or superhero movie question or whatever it is. It's open to everybody. It's not like you're asking people, do you believe in a pre-trib or post-trib rapture that like is a very narrow audience that's going to be able to answer something like that. So to that end, I think it broadens your audience. And if someone responds, I love mint chocolate chip, they're going to be more likely to hear your sermon clip that you post the next day. And so that's for that reason, I think it's kind of a can't miss.
Good. I almost thought you were going to go to could work, but because you said it depends on the kind of poll, but no, you're right. So if it's done well, and it should be attempted. So, all right, next one. Let's see. User generated content.
Yeah. So this is meaning like just when people from within our church typically are creating content.
Yeah.
It's sharing stuff that maybe someone took videos of their family getting baptized on a Sunday and they're posting it on their social media.
Yeah.
What do we think about us reposting it maybe as a church? I think that's what we would mean by user-generated content. Yeah, that's the most obvious use. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's not going to get the same kind of reach as if you created the content yourself. You know, reposting other content isn't as strong. But I think it does two things. It is good for you to produce content that way. And then it also is just so affirming to people that are creating the content. Like the people from your church, if your church is sharing stuff that you made, it makes them feel like, man, I'm really a contributor here. It makes them, it just really helps them, I think, kind of take their ministry to the next level. So I like it for that reason. I'd put it probably also in a can't miss.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Next one would be, I think I know where you're going with this next one, behind the scenes content.
Okay. So this is... I've seen this done before from churches where you kind of capture, you know, what life is like. So here's a story from our church. So we have this policy I recently instituted in our staff meetings. We have about 15 people or so that are there at our staff meetings on Tuesdays. We start at 3:00 in the afternoon. And at 3, everybody is there. It's great. But if anybody walks in a minute after 3:00, we all celebrate them like just really boisterously. Like I'm talking like everybody like stands up and gives them a standing ovation, like hip hip hoorays and all those, like we just go off. And so social media person does, who's at our staff meetings, is she's there, she's sure to be there at 3:00, and she captures these kinds of moments and, you know, puts it like, what's it like to work at New Hope Hawaii Kai or something like that. She puts that content in there, and then you got to see a little bit of the sense of humor and stuff that we have, where it's like, you know, kind of some gentle ribbing, but at the same time, it's like kind of fun and in good spirits, and people tend to like it, that they're, they feel like they're missed at that same time. So I like it. You know, as far as how valuable it is it a home run every single time? We don't see those posts being our absolute best.
Yeah.
But I do think it gives people a taste of things at what's happening in our church. And
it's authentic.
I think the value is it kind of breaks down that barrier between pastor and congregant that sometimes people think is really firm, but really I think that people forget pastors are people too. So yeah. I know that you and I know that, and our audience knows that.
Right.
But a lot of people don't understand that. So it helps to humanize us, makes us more approachable. I still am going to put it in could work, I think, because I don't think it's something that we've seen huge results from. Yeah. But I do think it's pretty good.
Yeah, at least a sprinkle in for sure. Good one. So next one would be live Q&As.
Live Q&As. Okay. I love this idea for mega churches. I think it's fantastic for very large churches. If you are on a platform like, let's say, YouTube, we're at that place where we're considering doing it here. We haven't even done it at Reach Right Here yet.
Yeah.
Just because a live Q&A is great when you have enough Qs for your A's.
Right.
So, but the worst thing that could happen is doing a live Q&A and you just sit there and stare at the camera because there's no Qs.
Right. Start making up questions.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what you have to do. It's like you have to come in with like a set of 10 preloaded questions or something like that to try it with. And so that's usually what even the largest churches do. But what's really great is when people get on and they put questions in the chat and you do that kind of stuff. So you have 10,000 people following you on YouTube or some other platform. It could probably work. I think for the vast majority of our audience and churches, knowing that the average church in this country is 60 people and 90% of churches are under 300 people, I think for those churches, probably in the churchy but meh, it's not that I don't like the idea. I think it's a great idea. It's just I don't think you have the user base in most cases to make it a success. And for that reason, churchy but meh.
Yeah, I agree. Next one, I'm almost positive I know what you're going to rank this one. Calls to action.
Yeah. So I don't think of this necessarily, maybe I'm missing it, but I don't know if this is a specific post type. But if the question is, should you call people to action in your posts?
On social media. Yes, absolutely.
So should a sermon clip have a call to action? Yes, it should be something like subscribe at the end or... Yeah. You know, watch the full message here or something like that. Should memes have a call to action? Yeah, maybe if you can find a way to do it. Like, so generally speaking, we're always for application or calls to action, having people take a step, right?
Yeah.
So that's the end goal. You know, practically, it's not always easy to bake that in. So I don't know if I'd call this a post type, but if the question is, should you include calls to action where relevant on your social media posts? Absolutely. Yes. That's can't miss.
Can't miss. When relevant. Yep. Correct. When relevant. Yep. Good one. Last but not least, ministry spotlights.
Ministry spotlights. So this means probably, I assume this means like finding a volunteer specific, or someone that serves. Yeah. And highlighting them. And it's almost like a testimonial, I think, in some ways, where you interview them and hear about, you know, how God's used them. I like these. I think that they probably don't get the same kind of traction that like a sermon clip would. Right. So in that area, they are, for varying content, I think that they're good. I think that they are harder to execute because I think that to do I'm assuming we're talking about short form vertical videos of someone, let's say like someone that's on your church usher team, for instance, you know, and what it means to be an usher and how long they've been doing it and, you know, what their favorite thing about it is. I think just anytime we can make real personal stories, I think they're always good.
Yeah.
As far as the actual value to social media, though, I think there's a lot of effort for a mid return, I would say, on those kinds of videos.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'm going to say that it's probably a could work type of a video when we do those ministry spotlights. They're good.
Yeah.
And if you can execute them, great. Go for
it.
But I don't think it's something that you need to bend over backwards. I have to do these.
Yeah. No, agreed. So, well, good stuff, Thomas. Yeah. We hope that was helpful for folks out there. Maybe gave some new ideas and we're all for that.
So two things to kind of talk back to call to action. Do something for me. If you disagree with me, tell me. Tell me about it in the comments. If you think I got it wrong, I'd love to hear about it. Maybe you have a story about how your church has just killed it with event something announcements or something like that. That's great. I'd love to hear about it. So drop that in the comments. On top of that, if there's some kind of a post type that you're seeing just kill for you right now, share the wealth. Share. We have a lot of pastors that watch this channel at this point, and so we'd love to kind of just do some user-generated content, if you will.
Yeah,
drop a comment. Let us know down below something that's working for your church. Thanks, guys, for watching the Reach Right podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.